A reading from the letter of Paul to the Romans. The word is near you, on your lips and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For one believes with the heart and so is justified. And one confesses with the mouth and so is saved. The scripture says, no one who believes in him will be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all and is generous to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how are they to call on one in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in one of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone to proclaim him? And how are they to proclaim him unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. But not all have obeyed the good news. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our message? So faith comes from what is heard, and what is heard comes through the word of Christ. But I ask, have they not heard? Indeed they have, for their voice has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. The word of the Lord.
Thank you. A reading from the book of Matthew. As Jesus walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets. And he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. The word of the Lord.
Good evening. It is my pleasure to welcome to our pulpit this evening my good friend, the Reverend Dr. John Pallarine, who has retired as rector of the Church of Our Savior in Mandarin and is now devoting his time and energy to working, building up youth programs all over this country. Such a joy to have you, John.
Come, Holy Spirit, come. May the word be near us, on our lips and in our hearts, and may we live that word in our lives through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. I want to start by telling you how thrilled and honored and grateful I am to be with you here tonight, to be part of this wonderful community at the cathedral, to be part of this beautiful evensong and magnificent music, and to be able to experience the Scottish music and traditions and come to celebrate and give thanks for the witness of St. Andrew and for all the Scottish traditions. I am just honored to be here tonight. I will tell you that Scotland has a special place in our hearts, as our journeys have taken us there many times, and we have many friends in the Episcopal Church of Scotland, and so to be here on this night is a special honor to us as well. And one of my favorite places in the whole world is St. Andrews, Scotland, that little village, and I'm an avid golfer, that has nothing to do with it. They have some golf courses there, you might know. And so I'm just so privileged and thrilled to be here. It did occur to me that being asked to preach at the cathedral where Kate Moorhead is the dean is a little bit like Michael Jordan asking you to shoot some hoops. It's a little bit of a daunting task because you have one of the greatest preachers in the whole Episcopal Church, I believe. And so it is a little daunting when I think about that. But then I also occurred to me that what makes Dean Kate such a great preacher is not because she's so eloquent, which she is, or because she's so brilliant, which she is, or because she's such a great theologian, which she is, but because of her love of Jesus Christ and the power of the Spirit that comes through her, and that her preaching is about God's Word. And so in that spirit, I have offered up my prayer that the Spirit of God would be with us tonight in this time of sermon, and that this sermon would matter, that it would matter to your hearts through the power of the Spirit. Now, I want to start by telling you a story that has shaped my thoughts and message and theme tonight and title for this sermon. And it's a story about a guy named Louis Crewe. If any of you have been involved with the National Episcopal Church, you might know that name. He has been involved with General Convention as a deputy for many, many years, and he's an outspoken, larger-than-life kind of character at General Convention of the Episcopal Church. And one of the things that Louis does that's very remarkable is that he prays on a regular basis for all the deputies, all those in the House of Deputies. You know, in the Episcopal Church, there's the House of Bishops and the House of Deputies that make up General Convention, and they meet every 3 years. And he prays for every deputy by name on a regular basis. And there are 800 deputies, more or less, in the House of Deputies. And he doesn't just pray for the last year. He prays for all of them that have been during his time. And every year, twice a year, he sends me an email. Now, he doesn't really know me, but he sends me an email, a thoughtful email, on two occasions. One is the anniversary of my ordination to the priesthood. And the other is my anniversary of marriage with Joanne. Every year I get this thoughtful email from him. And I want to tell you about an email I got a few years ago on the anniversary of my priesthood. Here's what the headline said on the header on the email. It said, "Bringing to you a pedicure for your anniversary." I said, "What? Bringing to you a pedicure for your anniversary?" And so I opened the email, and it quotes from the passage that we read tonight, "How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news of Jesus Christ." So I come tonight to bring you a pedicure. How beautiful are the feet of those who proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. You see, the message of Andrew is about evangelism. Now, I know in the Episcopal Church that whenever you use either the word stewardship or evangelism, everybody shuts down. I know that. You may remember in the 90s, the Episcopal Church called it the decade of evangelism. Do you remember that? And I remember a Baptist friend of mine saying to me, "Oh, the decade of evangelism in the Episcopal Church, you finally caught on." And I said to him, "Yes, but we're only going to do it for 10 years in the Episcopal Church." You see, the story of Andrew and the story we know oh so well, where Jesus comes to Peter and Andrew, the fishers who are fishermen, and says, "I will make you fishers of men and women and children and youth." When Jesus says, "I'll make you fishers of people, of all people," He's talking about evangelism. He's talking about proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. He is calling you and me to that same kind of fisher of people. And that's the message tonight, that we are called to be that kind of proclamation. Now let's go to this passage in Romans 10. One of my two favorite verses in Scripture are these 15th and 16th verses. And I'm going to read it from the RSV, and it is gender specific to men, but you can make it men, women, children, and youth. And it says this: "But how are men, women, etc., how are men and women to call upon him in whom they've not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without a preacher or proclaimer? And how can people preach or proclaim unless they are sent? How beautiful are the feet of those who proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ." So could we look at these for just a minute quickly? And would you see this tonight as a call to you and me, as a call to the people of the Cathedral of St. John's, a call to be that kind of proclaimer? So here's the first. How are we to call upon him who they've not believed? How can we be that evangelist if we don't first believe? It is a call for you and me to return to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to reclaim the fire that brings. I stand before you and say that Jesus Christ has changed my life. And I give thanks and praise for that. And I don't want to apologize for it or hide it. I just want to claim it. And so tonight the call is to claim Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, each of us, and to return over and over and to know that we are forgiven and redeemed and renewed in the power of Jesus Christ. And that is the message tonight. You know, you can't give away, if we talk about evangelism, you can't give away something you don't have. If we aren't on fire for the Lord, then who will be? And so it is that call tonight. The second is, how are they to believe in him whom they have never heard? How will people know about Jesus Christ if we don't tell them? That evangelism is about testifying. The first one is about believe. The second one is about testify. Now, I know in the Episcopal Church, testify is right behind, maybe ahead of, stewardship and evangelism. What do you mean, testify? You know, when we're complacent, when we're apathetic, when we don't talk about Jesus in our lives, we do testify. We just don't testify to the power of Christ. This is a call to testify in word and action to the people around us, to people known and unknown, to the community and to the world, to the power of Jesus Christ in our own lives. That's the call tonight. You know, the world, I believe, is hungry. Hungry for the healing power of Christ. Hungry for that good news that we talk about. Hungry to know that God loves them. We are God's love in a person. Let's not give it to someone else or think someone else will do it. But tonight, let it speak to your heart. May you be that God's love in a person to this world. The third, how are they to hear without someone to proclaim? Let us be the ones who proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. Let's be the ones who proclaim it to the city of Jacksonville as the people of St. John's Cathedral. Let us be the ones individually and together who go into this world to make a difference in people's lives and to proclaim that good news of Christ. Christ is counting on you and on me to proclaim that good news. Beautiful are your feet when they're out in the community, when they're out in the world, when they're out in someone's life, proclaiming the good news of Christ. Beautiful are your feet. May you get a pedicure tonight. And finally, how can they proclaim unless they are sent? I have to tell you, I was at the Episcopal Youth Event this summer, national event, 1,200 young people and adults from all over the country and other parts of the world. And the preacher at the closing sermon was Bishop Michael Curry. Some of you have heard him. He actually spoke at our diocesan convention or preached a few years ago. And he is one of the great preachers. He maybe is tied with Kate Moorhead, who are greatest preachers in the church. And he told the story. He made his sermon around the Great Commission. Go therefore into all nations, making disciples of all nations and baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And he was talking to all these young people who were so on fire for the Lord from EYE and so touched by that experience. And he said, I'm going to base my sermon on one word from the Great Commission. And the word is go. Go, he says. Go. Don't stay. Go. Don't stay at EYE. Go home. Go home and make a difference. Go into the world and make a difference. Go into the world and make disciples of all people. Go into the world and bring people to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. The message here is go. How will they know about Jesus Christ if we don't go? His sermon, I will just do a quick digression here, but it fits. His sermon, he talked about having a dog when he was a young priest. He says, I was a young priest, and I named my dog Bishop. He said, that's so I could say, sit down, Bishop. Be quiet, Bishop. Roll over, Bishop. Play dead, Bishop. Then Bishop Curry said, that's really not so funny now. And then he told a story about living in the rectory, and they had mice, he said, actually rats. And they didn't know what to do, and the vestry couldn't fix it, and so he decided to go to the Humane Society and get a killer cat, to get a cat that would terrify these rats out of the house. And he said, we came home with a cat named Muffin. And he said, this cat was so afraid of everything, including the mice. And then one day it happened, he said. We came home, and there was the cat, all hunched over, had cornered a mouse, and was about to strike. And we knew the moment had come when that cat had been all that God had called him to be. And then he said to the young people, so now go. Go into the world and be all that God intended you to be. Be all that God has called you to be. And so that is the same message for us tonight. So if you could just remember these four words, then I think are words that are very consistent with the spirit of St. Andrew. The first is believe. Reconfirm your faith tonight in Jesus Christ. Receive Christ all over again. Testify. Let your words and action be a light to this world of the power of Jesus Christ. Proclaim the good news together and separately to the whole world in the power of Jesus Christ, and that the world may be transformed through that power. And finally, go. Go. Love at the core, but only if we go and live out that message. I'm going to end tonight with a story. It's a story I've told many times, but I haven't told it here, and if I have, it hasn't been recently. And it's a story, really, I tell about stewardship, but I want to tell it tonight about evangelism. And I hope it'll speak to you as it's spoken to me for so many years. I used to do a lot of mission work with young people in Honduras, one of the poorest countries in the whole world. And we were there one day, a couple weeks, and we were in this little village, and I need to describe the village to you briefly. The village were little huts, one-room huts, thatched huts with little rooms. The house was 8x10, one room. There was no running water. There was no electricity. There were no bathrooms. And there were a series of these little houses, and then there was one big thatched roof and a kind of open area for cooking. And it was the poorest of the poor. And we were going to paint a church, and every day we would come with our things to go paint the Episcopal church. And there was a woman there. And this woman who lived in one of these little houses spoke no English, and we spoke very little Spanish. And every morning, we'd come by and look at her smiling face and say, Buenos dias. And she would say, good morning. And we'd say, como esta? And she'd say, bien. And every day we would be greeted by this smiling and wonderful face. And then one day she asked if me and three teenagers would come into her little house. And so we went into her house and we sat down, and she went to the pantry, and the only food she had in that pantry was one tortilla. That was it. That's all she had. And she went over and she took the tortilla down, and she came over and broke it into four equal pieces and gave each of us there a piece of her tortilla, the only food she had. And it was a community where clean water was not available very often. And she went over, she had a little bottle like we drink often, about 3/4 full or half full. And she went over and took all the clean water she had and poured it into four little paper cups and gave us that water. Now I have to tell you, I looked up and the tears were rolling down the face of those teenagers and down my face as well. And it was at that time that I really understood God's grace and love. I understood what it meant to give all of yourself. I understood what it meant for her to give so freely, not knowing where her next drink or meal would come, and yet giving totally of her heart. I have to tell you that on that day, she was a fisher of this man. She caught my heart. I have to tell you, on that day, she set my soul on fire by her servanthood and example and proclamation of a God who loves us in spite of everything, in with everything, and above everything. From that day on, my life was never the same. And so it is for you and me when we are called in that way. So, dear friends in Christ, on this celebration of St. Andrew, the one who was called by Jesus, along with Peter, to be fishers of all people, to spread the good news to all, may we believe, may we testify, proclaim, and may we go in the name of Christ. Beautiful are the feet of those who proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ our Lord.
Thank you. Give unto thy servants that peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be set to obey thy commandments, and also that by thee we, being defended from the fear of all enemies, may pass our time in rest and quietness, through the merits of Jesus Christ our Savior.
Welcome. It's so wonderful to have you here on this evening at the cathedral. And thank you so much, John, for those beautiful words. Following this service of evensong, we want to welcome you also to a beautiful reception with a lot of food. So I do hope you will go and eat some of it, or we'll have lots of leftovers. Also, we will be taking up an offering this evening for the music program at the cathedral, which, as you can hear, is absolutely extraordinary. When I think of heaven, I think of a pure sound of music, and this choir brings me closer to that sound than I've ever heard before. So we want to do all that we can to support them. They work very, very hard. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, how he said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." Let us kneel in prayer. O God, you made us in your own image and redeemed us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Look with compassion on the whole human family. Take away the arrogance and hatred which infect our hearts. Break down the walls that separate us. Unite us in bonds of love. And work through our struggle and confusion to accomplish your purposes on earth, that in your good time, all nations and races may serve you in harmony around your heavenly throne. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
O God, whom saints and angels delight to worship in heaven, be ever present with your servants, who seek through art and music to perfect the praises offered by your people on earth, and grant to them even now glimpses of your beauty, and make them worthy at length to behold it unveiled forevermore. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you now and remain with you always. Amen.